Ladies and gentlemen, we do thank you very much for your attention, and now we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the takeoff.
Sweet. I pushed the red button.
All right.
Let me see. This would be... Good. Get it kind of aimed at us here.
Sweet.
All right.
Sergeant Hartle.
Yeah.
Chief.
Here I am.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Cheers. First podcast ever, huh?
Yep. Don't even know what they are. Just like...
It's whatever you want it to be. It's the beauty of it, man.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
We can keep it anonymous like we talked about. I can muffle your voice later on.
put the little blocks up there and yeah. Shit. Like, however you do that digitally. Like, yeah. But, yeah, no, so, I mean, I'm Adam Hartle. I'm from Minnesota, a little town by the name of Comfrey. I joined the Army, right after I was in high school and stuff like that, and then ended up, going from Germany and to Fort Lewis. That's where I met you at, Ended up being your chief there. You guys were my first, like, real section for a long time.
Oh, was it?
And then... other than, the very short amount of time that I had fifth section, but, mm-hmm. And then after that, then we went to, we deployed.
Yep. 2009 to 2010.
Yeah. And then we turned around and came back, and then I PCS went to Riley, Fort Riley, Kansas. And then from Kansas, I came here and decided to be a drill sergeant, and that's where I am. And that's where I'm at right now, man.
Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Yeah. Sitting in your RV right now.
Yeah.
Just got done taking a tour of the post.
Yep.
Which I haven't been to since, artillery school in, that would have been like 2007 or 8? 7, probably, something around.
I got there in 2007, so it had to have been earlier in the year, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because you guys had just gotten, out. You guys were privates.
Right.
So, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Dude, this whole road trip's been a crazy little trip down memory lane. Seeing Young out in Phoenix. I'll be posting that episode soon so you can listen to that. Get a fucking kick out of that. Dude, I'm going to turn you on to some good shit. Podcast is like, it's
the future, huh?
The future of entertainment, man.
Yeah, well, check it out. Check it out and figure out how to fucking run them. I see the iPod or the podcast thing on the old iPhone here, mm-hmm. but... I don't know how to run it.
I get you set up, brother.
All right. Move this a little closer.
Yeah, man. Oh, today's been a fucking trip.
Yeah. It would have been
cool if we could have recorded somewhere. I hear some artillery going off in the background.
Yeah.
Like we got to listen to a little bit.
Yeah, we, like I say, it's so, iffy, what I mean? Like, you could spend all day and you can spend 5 minutes sometimes, and fucking hear all sorts of stuff, so.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, that was cool, seeing the troops walking around doing their basic training shit.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun there. It's definitely, as a drill sergeant, you definitely put in a lot of time in training them all and getting them from a civilian to an actual soldier instead of just being a trainee,
Right.
You definitely spend a lot of time away from home, versus at home doing that.
What are your shifts like? Are you there for 24 hours at a time, or?
So you're there from, you get them up at 5, so you're normally there at like 4:45 in the morning.
Damn.
Door opens up, get them ready to roll at 05 with the nice little wake up. and then you're there. A lot of nights until at least 2100 or 9 o'clock at night, and then it's 7 days a week, and you're just like, it slows down, for a little while there, where you don't, maybe not always necessarily needed at, 05 or whatnot, so those are good days, but still shit, when you sleep when you, you know, and then you still wake up at 5:30 and you're like, oh God, I'm late for something. You know, like,
oh. Yeah, man.
So.
It's crazy shit.
Yeah, yeah. So we, you know, just day on, you know, just here we go. We actually just got this last group about, last Wednesday. So.
Is it still 9 weeks?
9 and a half.
Yep.
63 days, and they get out of our hair and head on out.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot's changing though since when I was in, like the PT standards. And
yeah, well, it hasn't changed yet.
Oh, okay.
It's supposedly by the end of this year, it's supposed to hit, but there's still a lot of testing they got to do yet.
Right.
I mean, I know that they say that they're doing it, but. I don't know. We'll see how that all goes, you know, with the standards and, you know, oh, artillery is in this standard and, you know, a desk jockey, you know, is in this standard, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And so we'll see how that all goes, you know, and then.
Right.
But yeah, it's supposed to be like gender neutral on the whole deal. So like males and females, like it don't matter.
Well, that's the way it should have been to fucking begin with. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean,
now don't get me wrong. There's some females. There's a lot of females out there that, you know.
Sure.
You know, and do the same damn thing. So I
believe it. And females can do combat arms jobs now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All of them, or
yeah,
is it
all,
still
all of them? Yeah.
So you got some female artillery out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I remember. I remember the first one. We didn't have her. We thought we were gonna have her because she was like a. She was a security hold, meaning she didn't get her security clearance for the job that she wanted. And I was like, God, you need to get an artillery, because I guess the first female that went, she didn't, make it or something. I don't know. Someone we'd heard she'd got pregnant. It's all rumors. I don't know. But I was like, telling her, I was like, God damn, go, you know, like. Be that first female. And she's like, no, I'm going to wait to see if I get a better job. Well, she waited too long and ended up getting to be a fueler. So, it's like, yeah, well, way to go.
That sucks.
You could have made history by being the first female. But no, right. You wanted to screw around.
Yeah. No. I mean,
so if she's listening, you know who you are. Still disappointed.
No, I mean, yeah, it should be. Everybody should be allowed to do everything, I guess. I mean, I don't know. There's the whole debate over whether, like, you know, in a combat scenario, whether it's better to have only guys. And I can definitely see that side of the argument.
Cause, yeah, like, I can too. Only because of the nature, you know, like of, you know, men.
They're going to treat it differently.
Yeah, treat them differently. You know what I mean? Like, I can see, you know, like. I you know, you don't want to say that, right? But I mean, like, I can definitely see, like, if a female were to get wounded, you know, and only because, you know, like, we experienced that when we had the substation happen, and with Sergeant Hartman, when she was killed, you know, like, I mean, I think we took it, you know, a lot harder than the fellows, than the other.
The
males, you know, just because, you know, like, you want to try to protect them, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to see bad shit happen to the females. So, you know, like, I can see where that argument comes into it, you know. I think there's just that stigma that, you know, we're going to have to get over, you know, and just, you know, you got to learn, you know, that, you know, and it's gotten a lot easier being a drill sergeant now that, you know, we have everybody, you know, males and females and stuff like that, you know. Same thing with, like, you know, well, like what we talked about earlier with, you know, like the gay people and the transgender and the bi and all that stuff, you know,
right.
lesbian and all that stuff, right? You know, like, everybody's like, oh my God, this is going to be this huge, crazy thing, right? And then it happened and it's like, well, nothing really changed. Like, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, like, it's not, now you can say you are, you know.
I feel like there's a lot of things like that, right? Like, people just need to be more open-minded.
Yeah, yeah.
Go with the flow, yeah. Man.
You know, and don't get me wrong, you know, there's those bad people, or, you know, there's the bad eggs and stuff like that just can't get over it, right? But for the majority of the group, you know, you're just kind of like, okay, so what, what really changed now, other than the fact that you can openly say, you know, that you are, you know, in one of those categories or whatever, you know, like nothing to right. me changed, you know, people right. weren't like, oh, let's go out and lynch him. No, like, just, you're still a soldier, you right. know?
Yeah, but then, like, yeah, from their perspective, it is a pretty big change, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
They were kind of like, yeah, living in fear of...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
yeah.
know. I don't know what that feels like, but that's... I mean, that's one thing I've changed a lot on over the years, is yeah. just, like, being more open-minded about shit, and,
yeah.
you know, Colorado is, like, the first place I had any gay friends, and...
Yeah,
I
yeah.
got a bunch of them, man.
It's yeah, like, yeah, and, you know, fucking, I just thought, you know, it was going to be... A lot, you know, I you know, because I mean, we come from the small town and stuff like that, you know, where you just don't see different things, you right. know. And you know, like when you actually see it and it's like in your face, and as long as it's just like everything else, you know, they're not like, you know, oh, you've got to like me or whatever. Nah, I like you, or
I'll you judge know, you on your character.
Yeah, I'll judge you on your judge you on your character. Exactly. That's what I was about to say. Yeah, because it's kind of like, you know, if you're a shitty human being, I'm just not gonna like you.
Exactly.
No matter what, you could be straight. You could be the fucking, you know, the biggest
whatever
you
color
know.
You are. Yeah. It's like yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you're gonna be a fucking asshole about whatever, or if you know you think that we're supposed to bow down to you, well,
exactly.
You know, I don't ask you to bow down to me. You know. And so, yeah, I don't know. That's just my personal opinion, you know?
Yeah.
And,
no, I think that's...
I mean, I've been doing this for... this just started the 26th cycle since I've been here. I've been a drill sergeant for 14 of those cycles. I mean, we've seen them from all walks of life come through and whatnot, and it's I don't know. It's pretty crazy, you know, to see the difference from the start to the finish and stuff like that, and then to see, you know, like, you know, when you had like the initial stigma of like, you know, like the BLM or stuff like that, you know, the Black Lives Matter things, and like they started coming in, right, and I think that they were bred that way, right, to think that hey, you know, that, oh, white people are bad, and, you know, or whatnot, right? Or white people saying black people are bad. Well, that was just a group of people, right, that really just were kind of out there, you know what I mean? Like, and that's not what we thought, and that's not what, you know.
Right.
So they were kind of, you know, like, oh, white people aren't this bad, you know, and, oh, black people aren't this bad, you know what I mean? Because they... realize that holy shit, we can all do this together. All
right. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. You didn't work today?
No, I had the 24 hours off.
Check you out.
Yeah.
What you been
this
doing all
this
day?
This is William. This is hey. Gina's
Max. Nice to meet you.
Middle son.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm just.
They're the next door neighbors in the other RV. You know, living the pipe dream.
Sweet, man. But yeah, we're just doing a little recording right now for I started a podcast recently, so
cool.
Yeah, doing an episode with my old chief.
There you go. I'll let y'all get back to it.
Alright, well, what do you want to do for supper?
I was gonna cook biscotti.
Okay. Alright.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know, we might go out. I don't know.
Where are you going?
I don't know. We'll let you know as soon as your mom's off.
When is she going to get off today?
Maybe an hour. Oh. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Have fun.
All right, stay out of trouble.
Good meeting you, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I don't know. It's been... hanging out, living that life, you know?
Yeah. No, I love that you're, like, looking into the whole, like, alternative living situation thing. I think that's I think there's a fucking real need for that, man.
Like, yeah.
Everybody's always talking about how they can't afford a house or there's so many more different ways when you start thinking outside the box. Like you don't have to fucking subscribe to that 9 to 5 just to pay your landlord every month.
Like, you know, and when we bought the land that we're on right now, you know, I mean, you know, got very minimal into it, you know, and you know, and then I started doing the research, like, on the Connex house, the one that we're actually talking about here and stuff like that, you know, and I look and see, like, how much, you know, these people are paying for those things, and I'm thinking to myself, no, you can't possibly be spending that much money on these little things, right? That's what's wrong with our society, is that we're not willing to do anything for ourselves, you know? Exactly. And like, I want to, you know, I want to believe, right, that I can do, right, if you just look it up or, you know, just get your nose in the book a little bit and just want to do some hard work, I really believe, you know, that we can do the majority of this ourselves, you know what I mean?
Right, absolutely.
And turn this Connex house into something, like, pretty amazing, you know? I mean, like, yeah, this is a work in progress out here and stuff like that, but, you know, I mean, once we get it done, like, I think it's going to look, you know, pretty damn nice. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, this RV is sweet, dude. You got everything. You got the big screen TV.
Every single room.
You got the beds in the back and the toy hauler garage that go up and down.
Two bedrooms, two full bathrooms.
Man. Fireplace, full size fridge. Nice kitchen. That's what I'm realizing doing the alternative stuff is, like, you figure out what you really need. Mm-hmm. And I really like cooking, so I don't have much of a kitchen right now. But whenever I get back to West Virginia and renovate that thing, that's more of a priority. But it's like cooking and sleeping, man. Like,
so, you know, like, and don't get me wrong, we haven't downsized as much and you know, as we could. You know what I mean? Like, we still have a lot of useless stuff. I got a whole Connex full, you know, but
But this gives you room to breathe and figure out your next step. Most people are so it's hard. It's a hard cycle to get out of when you're working 40 hours a week or more, you know, just to make ends meet. You don't really have the time to think you can to put together the plan. So.
And you know, like, I mean, I'm a financial peace coach, right? You know, for Dave Ramsey. You know what I mean? I do that whole deal.
A what?
A financial peace university. I'll get you hooked up with it before you leave. Don't worry. But you know, I'm a firm believer in that. You know, like, he, you know, it's not necessarily that he's teaching you probably anything you don't know. It's he's kind of making you, like, be accountable for building your budget and blah blah blah, right? And, like, you know, I mean, since I've started doing it or whatever, you know, you start watching the credit card debt go away. You know, because, like, credit card debt, you know, shit, we're killing ourselves in America here right now. You know, And the reason being is because it's become so easy to swipe the plastic versus saving up the money for it and actually just going out and paying for it, you know. But people's like, oh, you gotta have this great credit score. Well, like Dave Ramsey said, right, and I'm a firm believer in this as well, right, that credit score is congratulations. You're good at having debt.
Right.
You know what
I've never had a fucking credit card.
Yeah.
My credit is awesome because I've paid off. You know, I paid off that car when we were in Iraq. I've financed a couple cars. The Ranger I had in Arizona, the same thing.
Yeah.
Having the house in Kentucky obviously bumped it up. And man, you don't need credit cards to have good credit.
Yeah.
And me and Young were talking about this in Arizona. Like, you know, I was talking to him and his girlfriend. I was like, when did you guys get your first credit card? 18.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's, you know, and don't spend money you don't have, man. Yeah.
And you know, and I got stuck in it there for a little while too, right? I was like, oh yeah, right? You know, before I did the class or whatever, and just like, god damn, you know, like, and then I started really, like, paying attention once I you know, started paying these off, started doing the whole Dave Ramsey thing, right? And I started paying attention to, like, how much you're fucking spending and how much they're taking away from you every single month.
Just interest and shit.
Yeah, like, you know, like, sometimes upwards of $200, you know, a month, sometimes more, right? Meaning that if you're making $100 payments or whatever, it's going to take you forever because
exactly
you're never going to get out from underneath of that shit, you know?
Yeah, that's by design. It's your money.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, yeah.
making money hand over fist, and you're never getting out of debt.
Yeah, yeah. And they do a good job of advertising. You know what I mean? Like they spend millions and billions of dollars on advertising to figure out what works to make you want to get their product to go into debt. You know,
it's a fucking trap, man.
Yeah,
it's criminal. How the fuck do we let them get away with that shit? Yeah. Like,
and then charge you 20-30% interest on some of those credit cards and shit, and you're just like, what the fuck?
It's a fucking trap.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, like, you know, it's just been real interesting, you know, here in the RVs and stuff, living this way, and then, you know, when we get ready to build this Connex house, you know, just being able to, you know, not put it on credit, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, this is something
as you can.
And then, boom, it's paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you can either turn around and flip it, right, or you can turn around and, you know, rent it out to somebody, but not for like these huge astronomical prices, you know, like make housing affordable, you know?
Exactly.
If you make a housing affordable, not necessarily does that mean that your renter is going to trash it. You know, I did that whole deal when we were up in Kansas there, you know, worked for the property management company, and like I seen some pretty high priced houses, right, you know, for rent and stuff like that, you know, so obviously higher, you know, earning people or whatever were living in these things,
right.
And some of them higher in the military and whatnot, right, and you come out of it and these houses are fucking trashed, right, and then you turn around or they move out, you know, and the house becomes trashed, and then, you know, you turn around and you get some of these, you know, $400-$500 houses, and yeah, it might not look the greatest aesthetically and stuff like that, but, you know, the family took care of it, you know what I mean? Like, it might not have always been, you know, like, the floor was always swept, you know, two or three times a day or anything, right? But
they were grateful, right?
Yeah, they're grateful, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, and but then again, you know, I've seen the other side as well. You know, I've seen the higher price take care of it and the lower price trash it, too. Sure. So, again, it's that good and bad in both sides, you know, and stuff like that. So.
That's what a lot of people say about, like, making the van life thing easier, because a lot of cities, like in Fort Collins, you know, it's a city ordinance that you're not allowed to sleep in your vehicle. So that's how they roust the van people out of the streets at night or whatever. Like, right. Well, it's fucking city ordinance. You know, most people are like, oh, this is my property. I should be able to do what I want. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not trashing the fucking sidewalk or anything. But they're like, nope, you're sleeping in your vehicle. But it's like, no, man, if you give people the opportunity, I think they would respect it.
Yeah.
And who the fuck is anybody to tell somebody else how they can or can't live?
Yeah. There was a lot of stigma with us moving here, you know, with them talking about, like, so, you know, instantly on Facebook, as soon as we pulled in, right? We hadn't even been here a whole night, right? And people are putting on Facebook, you know, like, when are we going to stop letting these people in RVs and, you know, and these mobile homes or whatever? When are we going to stop letting them move into Geronimo? It's detracting from our property value, right? So, you know, and she just lives right over here, you know, and instantly, like, people got on there and they're like, if you're talking about the big RV in the center of town, that thing costs more than your house and it's doing nothing but raising your property value, so you might want to figure it out. You know, and yeah, the yard's messy and, you know, right now, but, you know, we'll get, you know, and it looks nice as shit out here, you know, when it's, you know, and it looks like, you know, like it's a place where people want to go, you know, versus, as you see, right, you know, we look out that window, there's a fucking eyesore next door, you know, and it's a trashed fucking mobile home, you know?
Yeah.
Other than the Connex.
Yeah,
the Connex,
I was like, I don't even mind the Connex. It's the a Connex cool color. Moving. It's got that rustic nostalgia, patinaed look, whatever. But, like, I mean, everybody can't get a house. It's an unrealistic dream.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily that everybody can't get a house. It's that we've become that wasteful society, right? Mm-hmm. That we're getting shit that's too big for us, right? You know, because, you know, you look at a 2,200 square foot home, unless you've got a family of six or you know, or whatever, right? Really, do you need that much?
Exactly.
You know, like, do you, you know, we lived in that 2,200 square foot home there in Lawton, and there would be, there'd probably be months where we wouldn't go into, like, a specific room in there.
Right.
You know, months, like, when you finally open up the door, like, dust is, like, you know what I mean? Like, the door just been stayed shut the whole time. Well, that's just wasteful. You know, that one room costed you, what, $10,000 to $20,000 to build?
Right.
You know, so that's $10,000 to $20,000, you could bring out that price. That's why I think that this Connex thing is going to be, you know, really cool, just because of the fact that it's not so wasteful. It's not mm-hmm. so, you know, like, you could make, the space work for you. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, it's modular.
It's modular. Cheap. Yeah,
it keeps the weather out.
Yeah.
Like my house in Kentucky, that was just under 2,200 square feet. And I didn't know what the fuck to do with it. That's why I ended up growing weed in the basement. Because I was like, man, I got to do something. I had like a whole second floor I didn't even use, basically. Me and my dog.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I had a girlfriend for a little bit, but like, so much space.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mortgage out there was less than what it cost to rent a room in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, I went from like a $700 mortgage to like $1,000 a month for just a room and a house with five other college kids. But, you know, if I wouldn't have went through all that bullshit in Colorado, I might not be exploring things the way I'm doing right now. So
You know, and that's, you know, I don't know. I always tried to, you know, like when I told y'all about my fucking crazy adventures in Germany, you know, like doing the swinging, and you know, you gotta like and you know, like I told you guys all about that, right? You know, like you just gotta go see what all there is. Don't be so narrow minded that, you know, I can't have any fun, and you know, you put the blinders on, and you know what I mean, like
tunnel vision.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, because like, you know, like shit, you know,
it's, you ain't ever gonna have any fun.
Yeah, you know, and you know, you ain't always gotta go fucking, you know, do dumb shit or whatever. You know, there's a lot of fucking not dumb shit, you know, like all the weird shit we've seen today, you know, like, and you know, you just got.
And some people woke up, turned the TV on this morning, and that's where they've been sitting all day long.
Yep.
Just drinking or smoking or whatever. I mean, yeah, man, it's all distractions. Distractions are out there if you want them. You can stay distracted your whole life and comfortable, comfortably numb, you know.
Yeah. And living like a fucking, you know, we'll call it sheep, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the pattern. This is the pattern. This is today's problem. This is what I'm on, right? But now tomorrow the pattern could be something totally different, but that's the bandwagon they're going to jump on.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be totally against what they just fucking thought of today, or what was the pattern today. And, you know, they don't want to form their own opinions, right? They don't want to, nor do they want to try to change the problem. You know what I mean? Like, they're okay with letting fucked up shit slide.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, they're not okay with not fucked up shit, you know, and then their thought process gets skewed, you know. Like the whole, you know, and again, I know this is the second time that I've said that BLM, you know what I mean, but, you know, like, those people, right, okay, I got it, right, you know, bad shit might have happened, right, but okay, so I didn't see these.
Wait, what are we talking about?
The Black Lives Matter.
Bureau, oh, right. I was thinking Bureau of Land Management. I was like,
so like the Black Lives Matter, right? That whole movement, right? Now, don't get me wrong. Do I think that there is some of that problem? Yes. Do I believe it is as much as they say? No, I don't, right? Now, the reason being is okay, here's the deal. They didn't fucking protest anybody that was not necessarily questionable.
Right,
you know, like if it was a cut and dry, or let's just say, because they brought him out, right, you know, during that thing or whatever, and they're like, well, this was clearly fucking wrong, you know what I mean? But they didn't bring out, you know, or this was a right shooting or whatnot, right? You know, it was just they fucking went after. Well, this is what they do to every black person, right? And then these people started getting their phones out, right? And then anytime a police officer... Okay, so do you think with all the fucking police officers that we have in the whole fucking world, right? That... Or, you know, even in the United States, right? Do you think that they're all racist? No. right? But that's the picture that they like to paint to everybody, right? So then they're all like, oh, every single one is bad. Again, there's bad apples in every fucking one.
Individuals, yeah, right?
Yeah.
And people don't realize how hard it is to be a cop.
No.
I don't know what that's like. I know what it's like to carry a gun in somebody else's country for 12 months. That was a whole different experience. Another thing that people don't know what the fuck they're talking about usually when they're criticizing the military.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the police, man, that's even harder. You're doing it in your fucking, in your hometown.
Or sure that. And then when they have a split second to make a decision, right? You know, a wrong decision could be made. Is it sometimes intentional? All right, maybe.
Sure. I'm sure there's shitty cops out there.
You know, but are there a lot of good cops out there? Yeah.
Of course.
And are there good cops, you know, that fucking, you know, like, yes, there is. But, you know, everybody, they wanted to paint this picture, though, that all cops are bad and they're only against black people.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's no.
And whenever you start a movement like that, you're automatically, like, alienating everybody else. Yeah, it's like, that's not, you know, if we're ever going to get to a point to where we can have, like, you know, harmony and shit, that's the wrong way to do it, dude. It's all, you know, everybody's life matters. Black Lives Matter. We all matter, man. People.
You know, and, like, the slaves and oppression and all this other stuff. Okay, I got it. That happened a long time ago. You know, like, I don't know. I had seen the saying or whatever. Look, I didn't own no slaves, and you didn't pick no cotton. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and it rings a lot of truth. You know what I mean? Especially to nowadays, right? Because, you know, a lot of people here in Oklahoma, right? Like, Gina's mom, before she passed away, right? Like, well, you know, she was telling me about when she was a little kid or whatever. She went out there and they had to pick cotton out in these fields. That's how you made money in order to make the bills.
Right.
Guaranteed she's the whitest woman you've ever met in your life.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, some of it was literally just to make some money. You know, not necessarily because you were black or white. You know what I mean? It was just to make some fucking money. And, and, you know, she's definitely white, and, you know, like, I guess she hated it because she had two little sisters or something, or twins or something, that she always had to watch out in the field while they were picking cotton and, you know, like, putting them in their little satchel. And she hated that only because she had to watch the twins, you know? And Gina's friend, you know, her mom had to do it as well, like, had to go pick cotton, definitely also white. So, you know what I mean? Like, come on now, you know, like...
We've done a lot of fucked up things as a country, you know? Like, the way we treated Native Americans.
Yeah.
The things we've done in wars. We've done a lot of shit we're not proud of. But, if we're gonna get to a better place, we gotta fucking let things go and figure out a way to get along, man. People, you gotta let it go, dude.
Yeah, you know, because I mean, Germany doesn't continue to do it, you know, to the Jewish people.
I heard that brought up recently that, like, Germany is a great example of if you're gonna, like, make amends and become a part of the community again. Mm-hmm. Germany is a perfect example. Like, they really turn their shit around, and
you know, like, just
they're an awesome part of the global society now.
Bringing that up or whatever, you know, like,
and that's about as horrific as things can get, man.
Yeah. And you know, when you think about it, right, you know, like, how that all happened and stuff like that, I mean, they had Hitler, you know, who was a very good public speaker, right, and persuasive and stuff like that, right, but he led them to believe, right, that when, you know, that they were tired and they were hungry and they were poor because the Jews had all the money, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then when you looked, right, you're like, yeah, the Jews have the, you know, they have the jewelry shops, you know, and I'm already hungry. I'm getting desperate, right? Mm-hmm. My family's hungry. I'm desperate, right, for an answer. So he led them into believing what they wanted to hear, right, and what could make sense to make them do even what they knew was wrong. They would do it, you know what I mean? Because you're desperate. You're desperate for an answer, you know what I mean? And
he was a good manipulator.
He was a very good manipulator, yes. So, but yeah, no, we, you know, We just gotta move on, you know. Like, goddamn, you know. Like, I've had white soldiers die. I've had black soldiers die, and I can guarantee you, you know, no matter what. And I've had an Asian soldier die. I can guarantee you that every one of those, right? You know, because I was with them all. You know, either right at the end, or you know, right after the end, or during the upcoming to the end, right? That we've all bled the same fucking color. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what people gotta understand, is it doesn't matter what the fucking cover looks like, right? It's what's on the inside, right? And it's all the same. Some may be bigger, some may be smaller, some may be black, some may be white on the outside, right? But everybody on the inside got the same fucking heart, same lungs, fucking same bones, right? You know, black people don't have black bones, white people don't have white, you know what I mean? Like, it's all the fucking same on the inside, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just reminded me of, like, the English second language soldiers we have. Like, I remember going through training. Yeah. I don't remember if it was basic or AIT, but having guys that didn't even speak any English, mm-hmm. which, I mean, there's kind of two sides of that thing, because when you're over there and you get in a hairy situation, you got to be able to communicate with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, I respect the fuck out of anybody who's going to put their life on the line as, like, you know, admission to, you know, to live in this country. Yep. Like, yep. Fucking more power and to some those
don't
guys.
Even, some don't even get it. And that's what's fucked up. Some don't even get it. Like the citizenship. You know what I mean? Like, they'll come fight for our country, but they don't even get the citizenship.
Because they get kicked out for some reason?
I don't really know necessarily. I don't know. But, like, I do know, though, that some, like, you know, they'll fight for the country.
They just get fucked out of the deal somehow or another.
Yeah. And some don't even want it. You know what I mean? Like, we get trainees every now and again, right, that'll be like, no, I don't want to become a citizen. I just, you know, America helped me out, so this is my way of helping America out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know? So, you know, and then, like, sometimes we'll get them, you know, where they'll, you know, like, we had one from North Korea. He was smuggled. Him and his whole family were smuggled down to South Korea in fuel barrels.
Whoa.
Yeah, so they put them in fuel barrels and put them in a fucking truck. And then sent them down to South Korea. They got new names. They got new passports. They got everything, right? Well, then they went from South Korea to America, right? And then, you know, like the whole, which made it kind of hard for them to get American citizenship and stuff like that, you know, because, wait a minute, you came from North Korea.
Right.
Yeah, this is not necessarily you in this South Korean passport. Right. You know, so makes it kind of hard to, you know, get citizenship here, but, you know, they eventually did, but, you know, it just took a lot, and they wanted to, you know, the reason why he joined was, again, to say thank you to America for, you know, like, allowing him to come and their family and stuff, so that was pretty cool.
So did they end up getting citizenship?
He got citizenship. I don't know about his family. I'm pretty sure his family did.
Right.
But she just, you know, I don't know. We don't always necessarily keep in contact. But yeah, it was one of the weirder stories, right? Wow. You know, the fact that, yeah, they were smuggled, his whole family on the same single truck, and they were in fuel barrels.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah. 55-gallon drums, just, you know, that were used for fuel or whatever, and they rode it out in the back of a truck all the way from North Korea to South Korea, and then...
That makes my claustrophobia fucking... Dude, I get itchy on an airplane if it's too long of a ride. God, how about the airplane rides over to Kuwait and Iraq and stuff?
Yeah, those are good. I had one longer, though, that... So, speaking of, right, so I go, what was it, it was in, when we were in, Wesson, we were in Wesson, right?
Yeah, Camp Wesson was the small base that we, our first one in
was
Iraq.
Was that where we had to go because of the volcano? Was that year?
Oh, it was. That happened when we were over there, didn't it?
So that was one. Remember when I got to
Iceland? Is that right? Yeah. Shut down all the international flights.
Yeah, so we went to Oporto, Portugal.
Uh huh.
But we weren't allowed to fucking get off the plane. So they let because we were military, and I guess they're a non-military country or something.
Mm.
So they
can't have troops on the ground.
Can't have troops on the ground, yeah. So what they did was they let the fucking crew off, right? And then they pulled away the goddamn the stairs, right? So we're just like, that was the first time I ever realized how fucking high up you are in a goddamn airplane. You know what I mean?
On the ground.
Yeah, from the ground, yeah. And looking down out of that door, right? And, like, the flight attendants, right? The ones that sit on the bird with us or whatever, they were like, if you don't tell nobody, we won't. But they're like, if you go to the back door or whatever, you can smoke. So we were smoking, hanging out the fucking door.
It's a good way to keep soldiers happy.
Yeah.
Smoke them if you got them.
But yeah, so they let us smoke out of the back side of the plane. They're like, just blow it out, please. Just blow it out.
That just reminded me of Sergeant Campos. Every time we'd have a little like field exercise, who's got a cigarette? Fucking somebody give me a smoke. Smoke them if you got them.
Remember, that guy was the fucking craziest because he was scared of heights, but yet he's airborne.
Right. Remember? Still doing it, too. Yeah. I still see on still, Facebook still all the time.
Airborne the shit out of it. Yeah. So, yeah, because...
What's up, Gunny?
Yeah. because I took over for him or whatever, you know, after, right. You know, and then he moved up, and then... because that's when I came from 5th section to you guys. Mm-hmm. Right, and then, was that when, because you guys were the first to certify with 137.
Goddamn right we were. And then,
was it after the certification when everybody, like when the section kind of like took the nosedive real hard, like everybody got, everybody pissed nosedive. Hot?
We were rock stars. We were rock stars, man, the whole time. That's how I remember it.
No, but remember when everybody got in trouble or whatever, pissing hot and like that whole...
I was getting caught for underage drinking a lot.
Underage drinking.
Me and Duff, yeah.
Oh, fuck. And then, Jesus Christ, and then the videos you guys made.
Let's not go into that.
It was a good time.
That's what happens when you give a bunch of 18-year-olds freedom and heavy artillery.
And a lot of money.
And alcohol and a lot of money.
With cars, very little time to spend it. And so exactly, you're like, oh, yeah, let's run out there and fucking spend it.
Yeah.
I was in Germany, fucking. I did the Germany life, both single and married. And like, ooh. Let me tell you something. It was fucking crazy. So, but yeah, no, fucking, I would say all of our little problems or whatever, you know, like, they were pretty minor with everything and whatnot.
Yeah, that takes it to the next level. All those factors, and then put them in a different country.
So like, you remember that one guy that they made us go watch the court martial of?
No.
Remember, because he's like, "Oh, my friend smoked weed in the back seat," right? And then he pissed hot, and instead of just saying that, "Yeah, okay, I smoked it" or whatever, he was like, "No, I didn't smoke it. I'm gonna take this all the way to court martial." And he's like, "Yeah, my friend smoked it in the back seat. I went to go pick him up from the bar, and he smoked it in the back seat, and like he blew it up front. He kept all the windows shut, and that's how I ended up pissing hot." And
we saw this in person. We went to his court martial.
Yeah, remember they made us all go to it.
Damn.
No. And then remember, like, right, they found him guilty, obviously, and he had that. So, you know, because, like, I was, I don't know, I was looking at it all or whatever, and it was, so I was looking at, you know, like, even people who go to, like, the pot shops over there in, like, Amsterdam or whatever, like, let's just say you're legitimately not smoking, right? You're just in there, just breathing it in and stuff. You're only going to piss hot for a very, very short amount of time.
It's, probably, you know, yeah.
Like, yeah. So they're like, this is not even possible that your fucking levels are this goddamn high, guy. Like,
yeah, it's a bad excuse.
Yeah, yeah, right. Bad excuse, yeah, horseshit. Yeah. Horseshit excuse.
What are we going to do?
Huh?
What are we going
to
do?
Oh, I don't know. We'll figure it out after we do this. We're recording right now.
Recording what?
A little episode, a podcast.
Why?
Do you listen to podcasts?
No.
You should. Check mine out. Yeah, man. I'm doing an internet radio show right now.
That's sweet. No one listens.
listens to
us. Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Maybe you...
They're gonna... Millions of people... people. Millions of people are gonna fucking listen to this one.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because both of us are on it. Man, but yeah, no, finding those pictures, that was a good time. I didn't really, you know, so I've like looked at those pictures time to time, you know, of our oh, excursions, yeah, and stuff like that out there
in Washington State,
yeah. And god dang, I was just looking at them though, and I was like, holy shit, we are young looking. Like, it doesn't seem like that long ago, you know.
Now you're old
out there riding the boat with thanks, Matthew.
And
thanks.
Your bedtime's at like 10 o'clock now.
It's 8:30, man. But yeah, no, like, you know, like Andreas and stuff, you know, like, just doesn't seem like that damn long ago.
Yeah.
Shooting the fireworks out there at Bob's house off the dock. Yeah. Remember that?
I remember things going wrong.
Yeah.
Mortar tubes falling over.
Yeah. So we can do that here too, right? You know, so again, remember Gina used to do the fireworks, right? So she still has the hookup, you know, and they're actually the ones moving right next to the Dollar General. And, yeah, they, we can get some pretty crazy shit, right? Well, anyway, yeah, like, last year we had a couple fall over and hit people in the fucking chest and
Jesus
booming and oh god,
shooting out of the sides of the mortar tubes.
Yeah, blowing them up because they were, you know, like they've been used so many times, you know.
That and like the whole half the town was over in one place.
Oh, so but yeah, no, other than that, it's good to see you, man. Fucking,
this is a trip.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad you fucking stopped here. I really do want you to stop here on your way back through to go back home or whatever, but you
yeah,
know, so we can get your you know, your VA stuff
figured out,
you know, because, you know, that's another whole story that we could get into, probably another whole fucking podcast, but you know what I mean, like this about, you know, like, you know, I'm not, you know, a lot of these veterans, they're not necessarily asking for 100%, you know, they're just asking, you know, like, hey, look, you fucked me up, you know, like, help me out a little bit, even,
right,
you know, and a lot of them are, a lot of times they're, oh, you're, you know, but yet, then there's people who are clearly faking it.
Exactly. And false claims is a huge thing.
And then getting, right, you know, getting, you know, thousands of dollars, you know, every month, you know what I mean? Man, you know, never did a damn thing, you know, but yeah, oh, you know, you got PTSD and blah blah blah, you know, so
screwing it up for the rest of us.
Yeah, screwing it up for the rest of you guys.
And
you
yeah,
know?
And it boy, makes that whole,
I should
stigma,
say rest of you guys, right, you know, because it's us, because I'll be there before too much longer, you know.
Yeah,
so but yeah, that's a whole nother story and shit like that, you know. That's a whole nother podcast. We'll do that one when you come back.
Definitely.
See how addicted I'm getting to this podcast shit already?
It's the future.
I already don't get to hang out with you enough as it is.
Really, Matthew? Oh, my God. So this is my 17-year-old son, Matthew, who wants to whine and cry that we don't hang out enough because of all the time that I spend away because of being a drill sergeant. But yet, every time that I want to hang out with the little turd, he wants to play video games. So what's your excuse?
Every time you want to hang out, we're doing work.
What do you mean we're doing work? Yeah, it's because I don't get to do anything else.
That's bonding,
like,
man.
Yeah,
that's
bonding.
Bonding experience.
Yeah.
It's him cussing me out after a while.
I never cussed these guys out ever once. Zero times that I ever raise my voice, throw any water bottles. I never did any of that, Matthew.
Never, nothing but
really?
Love.
Because I'm pretty sure you showed me a video of you throwing water bottles.
At them?
Yeah.
Really? I would never,
I'm
Matthew.
I'm pretty sure you showed me a video like that.
Never, ever happened. False. Lies. So, so now what do you want to go on to?
What?
Well, now what do you want to go on to?
With our show here? Talking?
Yeah. Mm. We're doing the talking thing, remember? Is that beer fucking you up that much?
That's why I can't smoke before these things.
Otherwise you get too damn excited and be like,
Yeah, I just can't keep a thought straight in my head. Yeah, man. I mean, we could talk about the deployment stuff a little bit.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
I mean, fucking Afghanistan, the stuff you were telling me last night, man. That was a whole nother ball game compared to us in Iraq in 2009.
Yeah.
So, Jesus.
Yeah, that fucking Afghanistan thing, man. We was out there at Fob Tillman from June, the end of June, mid-June, end of June of 2012 all the way till Thanksgiving Day of...
You got another beer in there, bro?
Huh?
You got another beer in there?
I do out in the side box, right? No, there is, yeah. Can you go get it? Really? Put your slippers on, Matthew.
You already got shoes on.
Yeah, hold on.
We can pause this thing for a minute, too.
Okay.
Yeah, we ain't. No thing.
I don't burn on too well.
How many times did you go over before we did in 2009?
Twice.
Okay.
Twice.
Iraq?
So, yes. And then, so I had a very small one, to Iraq. That was only like, you know, what, about a month and a half or whatever. And then the only reason why we went on that one is because back in that day or whatever, 2003, they were sending, you know, they were sending people out, you know, up to as little as like 10 days before you were coming home, you know. As weird as that sounds, yeah, like there, it was kind of like, oh, well, this is a wasted trip, wasted, you know, money and stuff like that. And
sounds like it.
Yeah, they, and they were just, they were, it was bodies is what they were, you know, they were after to you know, whoop the shit out of the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, you know, like, cool America, you know. but yeah, no, so... the first one, though, it was in support of Operation Enduring Freedom, but it was the whole going to England to support the security forces with the Air Force and stuff. And then, you know, because their numbers were getting thinner with them having to start deploying and stuff like that. And then we went to, after that, then I went... you know, joined the regular army, boom, did that small, that really, really, really small deployment, and then we turned around and went to, then I did the full deployment the next time. That was the 2005-2006 deployment, you know, where I was wounded and stuff like that, so.
Right. That was around Baghdad or something?
Yeah,
or?
The Baghdad West substation, yeah. So, September 14th, day after my birthday, 2006, and, you know, like, I mean, they hit us with, about 1,500 pounds of explosives in the back of a dump truck.
Jesus Christ.
They say, you know, so, like, it was about half the size of the Oklahoma City bombing.
Jesus.
You know, but on a building that was maybe 1/8 of the size, maybe. You know, so I mean, all in all, right, the blast was, you know, we took a lot more damage than, 67 of us were wounded in a split second, 3 were killed, you know, so then there was that deployment, you know, and then we turned around and, you know, came to Germany and stuff, and, or came to Washington, and that's where we met you guys, and I took over for you guys, and then we ended up doing the 2009-2010
mm-hmm.
deployment. Yeah.
Okay. We were there for, we had 4th of July before we left, and then we got back just in time
just
for
it
again.
Just in time for it again, yeah. I remember that, because we had all that money to be able to buy all those fireworks and shit, and go and shoot them up out at Bob's house again.
Right, and I always tell people about, was it your place or Sarn Mills, where we were back... for the 4th of July, and we're all like standing around in a circle when somebody down the road starts setting off the first mortars, and we're all kind of like, we're like going to like our
I think it was Sarn Mills' house,
yeah.
yep. And
we're not in Iraq anymore.
But yeah, no. So you know, we did that deployment. No, you know, that was pretty slow deployment. You know, I mean, yeah, a couple things happened here and there. You know, unfortunately, you know, we lost, you know, Gwaltney and
right,
and you know, had the couple IEDs. You know, we got the Marine got real hurt.
Yeah.
And then
did he survive that?
Yeah, he survived that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then what else? And as crazy as this sounds, I actually seen him when I first got here.
Right.
When I first got here in 2014. Right. I seen him, right? And he's like, "Where do I know you from?" And I was like, "Shit, why do I know this guy or whatever?" And I was like, "Where were you deployed at?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, like," and I gave him, you know, the Afghanistan and Iraq. And he's like, "Well, where were you at in Iraq?" And I was like, "Well, out at Camp Weston out there." He's like, oh, shit. He's like, "Were you the one that took over?" You know, because remember, it was me and Smoke.
Manning?
Smoke Manning, yeah. That we were at, you know, because remember the LT, Lieutenant, Lieutenant Spence got in trouble and got fired because, who were the two that fought?
Oh, Diaz.
No, not Diaz, not that fight. Diaz and Levine, but no.
Loftus?
Loftus
and Macy.
Macy.
Look at my memory. Because
remember, and then Macy tried to say, "Oh, you know, like I fell down the stairs, like coming out of the shower," and the doctor was like, "Oh, really?" He's like, "Cause look, you have a break right here, and a break right here."
A fight that started playing video games, right?
Started playing video games. Went back in 2012. To Afghanistan for the first time, you know, like they actually staying there. You know, we've gone there a couple times with the Air Force and stuff like that, but nothing ever overnight. It's just go there, deliver fuel, and come back, you know.
Okay.
So we, you know, we do that, and then so Afghanistan though, holy shit.
That was a whole different ball game,
right? Like those motherfuckers will fight until either you die or they die, and thank God it was you know, mostly them. You know, we took a couple of hits while we were there. Took a couple hits, you know, like on September 11th, the video that I showed you last night about, you know, that when the Air Force, you know, fucked up and came from the wrong way, but they were, you know, told to come that way, you know. You know,
what was that, a 500-pound bomb?
Yeah, that was a 500-pound bomb.
Right next to the observation post where your guys were at.
Yeah, the infantry guys that were up on top of the hill, it hit their little building so hard up there that it moved it 30 mils in my sight. Now, to give you an idea of what that looks like at 30 mils at 1,500 meters, that fucking building moved quite a ways. So,
Jesus.
You know, like, we're... you know, we're lucky to still have every last one of those guys after that fuck up. So,
yeah.
But yeah, now them assholes, though, they would attack us fucking 13 times a day. 13 times was the most, you know, that we'd ever, you know, we took, they just kept coming in, right? And
In a day,
right? So,
and that's
like,
just like shooting usually? They would just...
Or
they were actually trying to rush the place a lot.
No, that was them like shooting rockets and small arms sometimes and shit like that. Well, anyway, so you know, like it had been quiet for a couple days, like 2-3 days, you know, which was also kind of rare. You know, other than, you know, they attacked us all them times, right? But never once attacked us after dark except for like the twice.
Right.
And then never on Sundays, which is really weird, you know. thanks. Yeah,
appreciate that. Yeah.
But yeah, no. We, you know, so the sergeant major, the brigade sergeant major, had come. I think it was Sergeant Major Hutchinson. I think was his name, or Hutchinson, or something like that. And he came out there, and he was like, "Well, you know," and he's talking to us all in the chow hall and stuff like that, right? That we had out there, and he's all like, "Well, good thing, you know." He's like, at least, you know, these fuckers out here haven't attacked us for very long, right? Literally. As soon as he got on his helicopter to fucking leave or whatever, the fucking rockets started coming in. We took 13 within a matter of, like, 20 minutes. Like, it's like, holy fucking shit, assholes. Like they had to have been listening, you know, because they were like, oh, really? We haven't attacked you? Well, fuck it. Here we go. And they let them rock. And, you know, when Fob Tillman was about the size of two football fields, you know, when 13 rockets coming at you, you know, like...
They're aimed.
They're aimed, yeah, you know, because... And not necessarily hitting all on the fob, you know, but real close. So that means that they're fucking aimed, you know, at you, you know, yeah. What I mean? Like, and it's just kind of a Hail Mary, you know, and you just fucking turn around and goddamn waste the shit out of them with some sweeping zones. Do a 3x3 sweeping zone, which makes it 9 rounds, and you try to shoot any secondary rockets. You try to, you'd shoot the old HEN white phosphorus to try to, you know, knock shit over and or fucking, you know, start it on fire out there to keep them coming from hitting the fob, and they just keep coming.
Yeah.
They just keep coming, you know, like.
And we're talking about cannons for people that don't know what the fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned the whole field artillery thing.
Yeah.
Yet, but that's been your career, right? You've been field artillery the whole time?
The whole time, yep. Yeah. And, you know, so I've been shooting artillery now for, well, coming up on 19 and a half years.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And
you guys had one big gun and a couple little guns?
Yeah, had one big 777 up there. Yeah. And then we had had two 105 119ers, you know. So there's three sections up there, you know. After a while, we got rid of the 777 crew. They went to the Fob Warrior, where we eventually went. And then the rest of us two sections stayed out there. And then we could also man the third gun to be able to shoot back and stuff like that. So, but yeah, no, it's definitely...
But then a lot of times, if they're too close, artillery doesn't do much good, does it? You just gotta pray those machine gunners are on their fucking mark. And
yep. Yeah, we there was a couple times, you know, that they were right up on the OP, and I remember FTC gave us the fire mission, and I remember looking at my tube and it looks like it's straight up in the air. And I'm like, oh boy, that means that this thing is gonna hit real close to, you know, wherever the fuck we're at.
Oh my god. Wow.
So yeah, no, but it's every single day, you know, except for every single day except for after dark and on Sundays, except for the two times, you know, the first time they were trying to flex on us and see what we were going to do, and they quickly found out, right, that we're not here to play games, a lot of rounds got fired at us, a lot of rounds got fired back out, and eventually we prevailed, and they had a lot of body parts to pick up on their side, and that's okay. You know, with the whole, like that guy with the squeaky wheel I was telling you about, with the wheelbarrow. He had the squeaky wheel, and he was pushing it through the mountain, and all you could hear was that little squeaky wheel that...
After one of the attacks, right?
Yeah, after one of the attacks, and all, what he was doing is he was out there just picking up body parts of his buddies or whatever, and... You know?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, that sounds exactly like the fucking Restrepo documentary, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, whenever I have people ask me, like, you know, about my deployment, and I tell them it wasn't all that crazy, they're like, oh my god, well, what's crazy? I was like, go watch Restrepo.
Yeah.
Those guys fucking had it.
And
they didn't have a second to take a fucking cigarette break. They were just fighting
My first sergeant or whatever, when I was in 232, he was actually in the Korngal Valley with him. He wasn't in that unit, but he was with, you know, it was his unit and those guys at the same time, you know, when all that shit was going on. You know.
Yeah, because those documentaries were about Marines, right? The Restrepo and...
Restrepo I thought was about Army.
Oh, okay. I don't remember.
But yeah, the Korngal Valley or whatever, that was the valley that they were in. That's where Restrepo was.
Right.
So...
Yeah, Afghanistan was a whole fucking different thing.
Yeah, that was a motherfucker. You know, when you're... when you're up there in the mountains and shit like that, you know.
And those guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, humping around in flip flops and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like I told you, you know, we had there was that goddamn sniper out there, you know, and he would shoot. Well, you know, he had gotten a couple of people, you know, throughout the years. Uh-huh. You know, like when we first got there, you know, unfortunately, he got Mooseman. You hit him twice in the throat, you know, before he hit the ground, you know, like this dude was fucking good. The previous unit or whatever, he was, he had hit a dude or shot a dude through the bicep while he was smoking, which I'm pretty sure was one of two things. It was either a, hey, motherfucker, I'm here. Or he sneezed or something, you know,
because like caught it a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, they ended up catching that fuck at the very, very end. Like, we had already, you know, all the artillery had pulled off. It was just the infantry up there. You know, they got close to him there, and he started calling his buddies, which, you know, the call was intercepted or translated. It was said that it, you know, hey, you know, they're real close, and all it just happened to be a private on a patrol, PFC, I think he was, and he looked to the right and just so happened to see the little perfect formation of rocks, and so what this dude was doing was he was using a jack, and he was jacking up the center rock, and then there was a cave underneath of it, and he would set the rock back down, and he was sniping people out of a very small little hole in the rocks, which is, you know, I mean, like, it's hard to see that shit out there. Yeah. And it just so happened this private caught it out of the fucking corner of his eyes. And the guy was like, oh, shit, you know, like, they found me, right? And then, so, you know, the people that did it, you know, or that translated it or whatever, they sent it on to those guys, and then those guys were like, oh, okay. Okay, I'm pretty sure this is it, right? Well, then they ended up bringing in the Air Force, dropped the first couple of rounds, nothing happened, and then all of a sudden the fucking tunnel collapsed, and he's like, oh, shit, you know, now I'm buried alive, I'm buried, right? And just turn around and shut the radio off and...
Left it at that,
yeah. So there's probably bones out there, you know, somewhere, but... You know,
fuck him. I mean,
yeah. You know,
sorry, Charlie.
Yep. Could have used that special talent you had for fucking trap shooting. Fucking maybe world champion trap shooter. Who knows?
God, that's crazy.
But yeah, no. Other than that, shit. It. And then once we shut down Tillman. And, you know, cleared it all out back to zero, pushed buildings and holes and stuff like that. Then we went to FOB Warrior after that. And that's kind of where our war ended. Nothing had happened. About the only thing crazy that happened there was in the middle of the night, one of the, they had some helicopters come in to refuel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they got too close to the PTIDs. Remember the PTIDs, that stupid balloon?
Oh, the weather balloon observation camera type thing?
Remember that thing? So they had a helicopter get too close. Remember how it was tethered off with the fucking cables and shit?
Right.
Got too close and fucking lopped them off. Lopped off the fucking tether lines, right?
Oh my God.
So it fucking started flying, right? In the middle of the night, right? You know, and like, you know, I heard it in my tent, you know, because we were out there by the flight line. I heard it in my tent, right? And I'm like, well, that's weird. Why are they coming in on that side, you know? Like, because normally all the helicopters would come in on the other side, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, for some reason, they were on the opposite side. It was like, oh, the balloon's over there, you know? But, you know, you don't really think anything of it, right? Oh, the balloon's over there. Yeah. Okay, right, you know? Well, no, that they goddamn chopped that motherfucker off, and it started flying. It hit the side of a mountain. And we were going to have to fucking... You know, we got put on this alert standby to shoot field artillery either at it and destroy it.
Oh.
You know, or they were going to go try to retrieve it.
Right.
And I think they eventually went to retrieve it. But we were this close from blowing the fucker up, you know. Like, that would have been fucking cool. But, yeah, so, I mean, You know, but yeah, once we got there to Five Warrior, like our war was over. Like, you know, they didn't fuck with us at all out there. So, but yeah, and then we ended up coming here, and I was supposed to be an AIT platoon sergeant, and then they're like, oh shit, somebody signed in yesterday for him, so, okay, and then a drill sergeant came to pick me up as my sponsor, and I was like, I didn't know what the fuck to do. I was like, yes, drill sergeant, you know, every time he asked me a goddamn question, like, yes, drill sergeant. He's like, shut the fuck up, man. Yes, drill sergeant. I'm same rank as him. I didn't know what to do. I'm standing at parade, rest of this guy's same rank as me. And I was like, so am I here to be a drill sergeant? He's like, nope. Well, what am I here to do? Oh, you're here to be training room. Oh, no. I don't do training room very well. Well, I guess I do it well enough to fucking do it for a couple of years. And then I was like, I can't do this shit no more. I gotta fucking go be a drill sergeant, right? So,
decided what to go. Is the training room thing?
So it's where you do all like the paperwork and the
fucking in processing.
Well, shit. Is that what? You do all like the paperwork to in process them. You do all the paperwork to input all their training that they're doing.
Okay.
You make like all the fucking graduation certificates, all the graduation packets, the whole big packet full of paper that each one of them, you know, like, because it's each one of the training events that they had to, you know, do in order to graduate basic and.
Right.
And, you know, get them plane tickets, you know, to fucking go home, or not go home, but, you know, go on to AIT if they were leaving, and right. All this other shit, you know, and just like, holy fuck, you know, then I started getting real good at it, right, you know, like, I started getting, like, trying to do the lazy thing, right, you know, like, oh, if I work real hard today, right, I can do nothing but take a nap tomorrow. You know what I mean? So, like, I'd start doing the fucking, getting in that lazy mentality where I'm just going to hurry up and get it done so I don't have to do fucking nothing tomorrow, you know? And then I went to be a drill sergeant, you know, and that was definitely an eye-opener, becoming a drill sergeant, you know? Like, I'd already worked with them for, you know, what, two and a half years by that time. But, you know, to really figure out what goes into making a drill sergeant, right? And, you know, the training in a drill sergeant and all this other shit, you know, like, and then.
How long is drill sergeant school?
9.5 weeks. It's just like, it's basic training.
Bumped up a notch.
Yes.
To say the least.
Yes, to say the least. Yeah, like, you still go through the shark attack. You still go through. Wow. It's everything that they do in basic training now. It's just that they, that you're, so not only do you have to do it, right, but you're also learning how to instruct it.
Okay. That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, like, you know, because again, you're teaching people who've never stood at the position of attention. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, so you gotta. You know, you have these things called modules, and you're learning these modules, right? You know, when I first got there, right, you know, there's all these people, they're walking around with these books in their faces, and they're talking, and, you know, they're just talking to themselves and talking very loud to themselves, and you're like, what the fuck? You know, like, these people are weird, you know? And kind of find out that was them studying fucking their modules and shit, right? And, you know, so that way, you learn the next position, which I will never explain, have demonstrated, in which you will conduct practical work on, is position of attention. The position of attention is the key position for all stationary, facing, and marching movements. The commands of this movement are fall-in and attention. Fall-in is a combined command. Attention is a two-part command, when preceded by a preparatory command, such as squad, platoon, or demonstrator. I use demonstrator as my preparatory command, and attention is a command of execution. When given, these commands are as follows, right? Fall-in... demonstrator, attention, demonstrator's post, right? You know, and then on the command of attention, or on the command fall in, or on the command of execution, attention of demonstrator, attention, shall we bring your heels together online? You know, and then, but you got to go through, you know, and you got to fucking give it to them,
right?
And you got to teach them, you know, right. And it's continues to go on and on, you know, at normal cadence. This will look as follows, you know. What are your questions pertaining to this exercise when executing at normal cadence or when using the talk through method of instruction? All right, demonstrator, attained, fall out. You know, fucking. And, yeah, like, you know, and you're just, you know.
What's your favorite part of the drill sergeant thing?
I would say my favorite part is teaching. I would definitely say it's teaching because of the fact, right, that, you know, through my experiences and through the things that I've done, right, you know, like, if we let that go, you know, and I don't teach them shit, right, you know, just be a fucking asshole to them all the time, then they don't learn anything, right, and then they could possibly make mistakes that you made, or, you know, and have to figure it out themselves, right? Or you can fucking tell them about it and be like, you know, nah, don't do this because this, you know. Well, if you don't be like, okay, well, don't do this because of this, and they turn around and fucking do this and then find out this, you know what I mean? Then what was the point of it? You know what I mean? Like, then, you know, you might as well just not be a drill sergeant, you know, or somebody who wants to teach them, you know. And, you know, everybody sits there and thinks that, yeah, the drill sergeants want to rip everybody's face off, right? You know, yeah, and, you know, like, don't get me wrong, there are probably some out there and shit like that, right? But, you know, my thing is to teach you. I'm not necessarily going to be the nicest or, you know, or the most politically correct about how I'm going to fucking teach you. Right, but I'm gonna teach you, and you're gonna know, and you're gonna remember that. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're here to set you up for success, not to fucking, not to.
It's not just to make it painful.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah, because, you know, and we talked about this, I think, at lunch earlier. You know, like, there are, you know, and this is my personal opinion, right? And I've seen it happen before, right? You know that. Okay, so they don't do a whole lot of teaching, but they do a lot of yelling and screaming.
Right.
And then they change the rules, you know, about what they're yelling and screaming about every 5-10 minutes.
Well, they want to be right, or they want to be the top dog instead of actually, like, teaching what needs to be taught, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and then when you do that, right, you know, like, they don't learn, you don't learn. You know, I've always, you know, when I became a drill sergeant, right, I came in with the philosophy, right, you know, put the stress between the soldier and the task, not between you and the soldier. So even though they know that I'll crush their fucking nuts, or I'll crush them if they fuck up,
right,
you know, they know that. So that's not a stress to them. They know that it's their fault. You fucked up. Okay, so now I have to do what I have to do, right? So put that stress between them and the task, and not between you and them. If that makes sense.
It does.
You know, and I feel like, you know, you could use it in many other applications as well. You know what I mean? Like, you know, even being a supervisor, you know, you always want to put the stress between, let's just say, the employee and the task versus you and the employee. Hey, I'm on your side. You fuck up, yes, I'm going to have to deal with it, and I'm going to be fair, but, you know, here's the stress, you know?
Right, and you're being, like, you're being transparent about why you're doing the things you're doing.
Yeah.
Not just being an asshole.
Not just being an asshole, just like, get the fuck down, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, now, don't get me wrong, like, when I do that or whatever, you know, it's normally towards the end, and they know that I'm fucking around with them. You know right. what I mean? Like, you're just kind of like...
That's what we always enjoy about down.
You. You know what I mean? Like, that's real sergeant, right? And you let them come back with a smart-ass answer, but you're not gonna fucking crush their nuts because they gave you a smart-ass answer, just because you know damn good well they didn't do anything to go fucking down. But you know what I mean? Like, and, you know...
And the stress of basic, like... Looking back, it's necessary, right?
You wanna
show them what that heightened stress level feels like in a more friendly environment before, because, I mean, most people go, I mean, shit, I went through basic when I was 17, and I'm sure you see kids all day, every day, who, you know, don't know what the fuck a high-stress environment is. Operating in that kind of fear is something that, like...
Yeah, I don't... you know, and I tell them all the time, too, you know, like, I've already told these ones, even though they're brand new, you know, I tell them, look, trainees, like, I'm hard on you. I'm gonna be fucking hard on you until the day you leave. right? The, you know, I don't want the first time that one of these soldiers ever gets yelled at, I don't want the first time, you know, to be downrange.
Right.
And because if I yell at them or they get yelled at for the first time downrange, right, and they all of a sudden can't find, or they find out that they just can't hack it, downrange is not the fucking place you want to find that out at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you can't handle this fucking, you know, the fact that I can chew your ass, which I did to all of you guys.
Yep.
Right? You know?
Agreed.
I mean, I've how many times did I throw fucking water bottles? How many times did I get pissed the fuck off and yell and goddamn scream after those patrols and shit like that if we'd miss a time hack or whatnot, right? You know, but at the end of the day, right, you can still turn around and drink a fucking beer, you know, with them or whatever, right? You know, and I'm not necessarily saying fraternization, right? You know, because that's, you know, but, you know, if I can fucking chew your ass all fucking day, right, you know, and, you know, also do some soul searching myself as well, you know what I mean? Like, okay, what do I got to do, you know,
sure,
in order to
fucking
fix it?
Nobody's got it all figured out.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But, you know, if I could chew your ass and at the end of the day, right, you haven't been, or you're not so butthurt, right, that you're not like, okay, all right, so I learned from that, you know, all right, so, okay, oh, man, I really hate Chief, or, you know what I mean, like, and just drive on and just be able to have a beer at the end of the day, then you're not being very productive as a fucking leader.
Yeah.
You know, now don't get me wrong, you know, like, maybe, you know, are there some times, right, you know, that, you know, you might have gone over, or that I might have gone overboard? Oh, I'm sure of it all the time, you know what I mean? But, you know,
better here than there.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and, you know, because like I said, I mean, I yelled and screamed, right, but I don't remember a single damn time, right, that any of you were like, oh, you know, like, yeah, I hate you, we're not, you know, we're not going to go on that camping trip or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what leads me to believe that, you know, I was more successful than not successful. You know what I mean? Because of the fact that, you know, I can chew y'all's asses, right? And I can get my ass chewed, you know, for shit that you guys do, but also stick up for you. You know, if I know that, you know, well, that's something that I did. I told them to fucking do it. And I, you know, and I'll take an ass chewing for it and not them. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and that's all about that whole humbling yourself as a fucking leader, you know?
Exactly.
You know, and there are some super great, you know, like sergeant majors out there and stuff like that. And then there's some not so great ones, you know, they forget where they came from. You know, and we all understand, yes, you're the sergeant major, or yes, you're the this, or you're the that, right? But my thing is, right, is, okay, so yes, you are all that, you know, and but, you know, don't forget where you came from, you know, because you're teaching us, you know, if all you ever do is yell and scream, well, then what are you teaching us all below that? That it's always okay to yell and scream. You know what I mean? But then you want to say, well, you don't, you know, oh, you don't have to always yell and scream. Yeah, but that's all you ever did to us. You know what I mean? And that's why, you know, like,
there's a big disconnect between, like, ground level soldiers and the sergeant majors and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's definitely, we definitely had a much healthier relationship with, like, you and the other section chiefs and stuff. I mean, obviously, you're never as tight with, like, anybody else's section chief as you are with your own, but, like, no, man.
Well, like Sergeant Major Moriarty, right? You remember him, right? Like, so he was the field artillery sergeant major, right? So I get here, right? And you remember, I didn't like the colonel. Remember that? I can't, Blackwell. I don't know. Was it Blackwell? No.
One didn't ring a bell.
No. I don't know. Anyway, I didn't like him so much. You know, Sergeant Major Moriarty, you know, I liked him, right? Because he would chew our ass when we needed it. But then guess what? He would also fucking let us know what was up. You know, like, and would teach us when we needed to.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
All right, we can wrap this thing up.
Okay.
I just clicked,
how long was
I
it?
I just clicked
how
it back.
Long?
I think we got like a solid hour and a half.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we hit some good shit. There's definitely a lot more we could talk about.
Yeah. Man, yeah.
The wide maybe, world of maybe the fucking next time we'll U.S. do. Military, man. There's a lot going on there, but you know,
yeah.
I think this is like valuable shit for people to hear, right?
Yeah, I mean,
there's
a lot of
misinformation about the military and what we did and.
Yeah.
Man, you're still fucking doing it, dude. Like shit, we met when I was old enough to buy cigarettes, I think. But
yeah, I mean, like I didn't. You know, looking at the pictures or whatever, I was just like, holy shit, that was a long time ago. 9 years.
Yeah.
Or no, 12 years. 12 years.
9 years.
12.
Oh, wait.
Because you got to remember, that was
from
the
beginning.
Deployment.
Yeah. I always think about it from Iraq.
Yeah, from Iraq. Yeah, but no, I was your chiefy from before that. Yeah.
Fuck, man. Good times.
Yeah.
Dude, I always look back fondly. Like, you know? You were an asshole, but only to the extent that you needed to be. And we had our good times too, hanging out, drinking and building. I mean, we had a fucking strong section, dude. We really did.
Yeah, I mean I would say that we had one of the strongest section, you know what I mean? Like you know, because we did things outside, you know, and it wasn't just, you know, it was everybody. It wasn't just, I liked you or I liked you, you know what I mean? Like, no, like.
It was always fair. Yeah. It was always.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We had to make some tough decisions, right, you know, where I had to crush some of y'all's nuts, you know, even though I didn't want to, you know, because I was like, oh, they're going to hate me, you know, but.
We all saw I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, like, you know, you guys making those just, you know, like, smaller mistakes or whatever, you know. Some of them were big, you know, like, but, you know, I think that, though, helped me grow as a leader, too, you know, to be able to figure out, you know, that, okay, I'm not just inside of a little fucking bubble, you know, like, people got real world shit, you know, we work hard. We play hard, and sometimes those play hards, you know, like, you know, I don't personally believe that means that you're any less disciplined. Sometimes it does, you know what I mean? But, like, you know, for, like, the occasional, like, oh, okay, you get a speeding ticket. Oh, okay, great, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
right.
And again, that goes back to the disconnect, you know. Some people, like you've never made a mistake before, you know. No, you've made a mistake before. You just and
I don't trust somebody that says they've never made a mistake.
Yeah. No. No, you know, like holy shit, you know, like fuck. You know, and it happens with everything, you know. I was hauling that RV over there, you know. Fucking swore to God the fucking little thing on the tongue said a 2-inch ball. I put it on there, fucking hooked it up, started driving away, right? All good to go, right? Got out onto the interstate, I looked in my fucking rearview mirror, and the goddamn tongue is fucking up in the air, and I'm dragging the fucking RV down the road at 70 mile an hour, not hooked to the fucking truck anymore. I'm like,
oh my God.
Fuck. So then.
Just the safety chains holding it on or whatever?
Yeah. So I was like, oh shit. Well, I hooked it back up, did it again, right? Because I looked again, right? And I swear to God, it said 2 inches. I'm like, yeah, that's the ball. I'm like, I hate this. So I put something through the fucking little tongue deal and fucking, you know, started driving again. Made it all the way from Medicine Park, which is northern side of fucking Oklahoma, or Lawton here, and all the way down to here to that little, where we take the left to come on that shitty road to come back here or whatever. And, I look back and that fucker does it again. It's up in the fucking air. I looked the fucking third time and guess what the goddamn tongue said? 2 5/16. I was like, motherfucker, this thing got. I was hauling it down the road.
Attention to detail.
Yeah, attention to detail.
Chief.
You know? Yep.
That's a good.
But yeah, that
closing
could have been,
remarks.
Yeah.
There.
So, but
man.
Yeah, no, it's been fun.
This has been real.
You. Appreciate you fucking coming here.
We're
going to
do this
fucking,
again sometime for sure, man.
Appreciate you coming here and appreciate you fucking letting me do my first podcast with you.
Hell yeah, brother. It's been real. All right. Love you, man.
All right,
we're going to do this again.
All right.